This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm your host and the executive director of the Human-Animal Connection. I'm so excited for this interview. It's been a long time in coming. I'm really delighted to have Stephanie Banks with us, and she's a very sought-after intuitive channel and a mentor guide and guide who helps people connect on the soul level. So she channels from the perspective of any soul currently on the planet or souls on the other side, or even purely non-physical beings such as spirit guides. But she also communicates with animals, trees, and Gaia. So Stephanie, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeannie. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what it means to be an intuitive channel.
Well, for me, it simply means connecting to divine energy and wisdom, and that is not something that is only for humans. It's for more than humans, animals, all life for all time. Okay. So one of the aspects of my channeling is to tune into animals and trees and plants and hear from that, from the essence of them, from the soul of them, what they witness in us, what they need from us, how we're always interconnected. And that's where I get my greatest joy.
That's wonderful. Now, is this something that you felt your whole life, or is it something that came to you later in life? What was your journey?
I've always felt my really deep animal connection and earth connection, but in terms of learning channeling as a skill, that's something that only came to me in adulthood. And it came to me because I had a challenge with my relationship with my mother. She had a type of dementia that started in her late 40s or early 50s. And I needed to find a way to stay connected to her and to be able to communicate with her that transcended traditional verbal communication, because those pathways were becoming unhealthy or distanced. So I had a friend at the time who was a very gifted channel. She was able to connect me to my mother's soul, and I was able to ask the questions that I had at the time, such as, what do you need from me? Why are we doing this dementia thing? What are you here to understand about yourself? How can I be a better daughter? And learned what was true for us as soul beings. And once I saw how it changed my relationship to my mom, I thought, well, what else could it do if I applied it to other human relationships, to other more than human relationships? And so I have bridged the gap of what we, most people, the mainstream believes as what's available to us from the animal perspective. They're communicating with us all the time, as you well know, as your beautiful work shows. So why not channel them? This is not something unique to me. We all are channels. And once we connect that in that way, there's just love that's available to us.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I know my mother had dementia and lived with me for the last 3 years, and it was very challenging, you know, and we know many, many people are going to be experiencing this with their family members, and to be able to find a way to communicate with people who are, would you say that they're only in present time when they're in the dementia state, or what's your sense of that experience? What's your perspective?
Yeah, well, I learned a lot from channeling my mom. And one of the things that I learned was that when she appeared to me to be dazed or distant or elsewhere, she was in her own reality. And when I tried to bring her back, or really drag her back to whatever our present moment was, the conversation or the topic or the activity, it was very disruptive to her. She was actually visiting on other levels and in other realms with beings that were far more interesting than the ones that were seated around her dining room table.
Yes.
So there's a present moment only to some of these experiences with dementia. And we just don't know, from those of us that are on the outside of it, what that present moment actually is, because in our minds, we're thinking, Well, this topic of conversation is the present moment, when actually there are realities and layers and levels that we are completely closed off to simply because we don't know about them.
Yeah. Well, that's such a fascinating perspective, is that there's more than one present reality, or there's more levels of present reality. You know, they're all present, but they're not, we don't all agree on what the present is. You know, I think that's really helpful in talking with animals. I've experienced is that sometimes I think, well, if you were present, you would blank, 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 when in fact they're very present. And if I was present to what they're present to, I would have a whole another level of experience, you know?
Exactly.
And that's so exciting to, you know, because it can be really scary for those of us who love people who are going through that, because it feels like we can't reach them. And sometimes we can't. But just the grace of saying whatever their present experience is just as worthy as mine. It's just as worthy as the meatloaf, you know what I mean? The dishes or whatever it is that's going on, you know, that may be even better, you know? Yeah. And that part of what we need to do, I think, with dementia is respect the validity of the experience, you know, that
I think the kindest thing we can do is to find ways to join our loved one instead of trying to bring them constantly into our fold. That's what my mom's soul taught me, was she really just wanted me to join her in her state. And sometimes that state was just quiet and still. And sometimes that state was very playful. And sometimes she was, you know, agitated and irritable. And she wasn't asking me to match that, but she was asking me to give her space around that.
Fascinating. So this is really one of the things that helped you to be able to communicate with non-human animals, to be able to really explore their world. Tell me what that's like, how you took that understanding to your work with animals.
Yeah. Well, when I was studying to become a more clear channel, it was focused mostly exclusively on the human aspect of it. So souls embodied as humans. But because I had a pre-existing deep love for all animals and plants and trees, and because I've always empathically felt them, I just chose to expand and extend it into that realm. And what I find is that this is the purest, clearest energy, is to channel animals and Gaia and plants. They don't have the hangups that we do. So it's pure, and it's love, and it's presence, and it's compassion, and it's kindness, and it's sweetness, and it's truly delicious.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. How does it, you know, affect you to then go back and forth between these like really pure, joyous experiences and the human to human? Do you find it's easy to go, okay, well, now I'm talking to an animal, I'm going to have this, you know, non-judgmental, purely potent present moment, and then I talk to a human about whatever business thing or whatever it is, you know, the mundane? What's that like to go back and forth?
For me, it's easy because I understand what the soul embodied as a human is working towards, which is, it's all the same. We're all working to come home to love, right? We're all working to get closer to unconditional love. And animals are the greatest teachers and leaders for that. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a hard time going between the two, because truly a soul is a soul, and they are coming from love. And it's just that the souls that are you know, humans complicate things, is what I will say.
We do. I love that you talk about animals having souls. For some people, most of our listeners, that's, yeah, of course. But for a lot of people in the world, that's like, what? So what in your experience, if you were to say animal souls are, well, you sort of gave me a picture of it, but what's different about talking to animals and talking to humans? Let's go that way.
Yeah. Well, so I'm talking, so it's the same thing really, because it's soul. We're going to the essence of it. So a human soul oftentimes has had many, 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 many incarnations. And the way we play out our work, and the way we grow is through relationships. And that's why relationships are so sticky and tricky and complicated and sometimes painful.
Yes.
So if everything was easy, we wouldn't have growth, and we're here to grow. So we have this history for the souls that are in human body that I am channeling, and I can tap into that, you know, other lifetimes, and this is what's influencing your behaviors in this way or your thoughts in that way. And then we have the culture and the conditioning that we layer upon that, and that humans are very susceptible to. Of course, animals do not have to read billboards or watch news or follow global events. So they are not encumbered by any of that. Mm-hmm. They're clear about their service here on the planet. Mm-hmm. They're clear about the love that they are here to bring, and they are witnesses to mm-hmm. us, you know, and to our growth. Mm-hmm. In so many ways, we are here to be in service to one another. It's not mm-hmm. just the animals are here to endlessly serve us. We're also here as servants to them. We also have a responsibility to their well-being, to their protection. I'm a fierce protector of life. It makes me nuts to see the level of destruction and the loss of species and all of the things that human behavior is causing. And it's so deeply sad to see the level of disconnection that humanity has had with themselves and, of course, as a result, with all life, the more than human life. So this work, I feel, this aspect of my work is to assist in rebuilding that bridge that we are meant to have in wholeness and in integrity with ourselves. We're just part of an intricate web of life. We are not at the top.
Right.
Not at the top.
Mm-hmm. We're certainly not.
No, and nor are we meant to be in some sort of positions of power mm-hmm. over. I really wish we could redistribute this to I'm looking at your screen, your giraffes and donkeys and bunnies and everything. They do a much better job. But we are here to grow and learn and to take up what is ours. And we are all responsible to add to the loving kindness and the compassion that this planet needs.
Definitely. And I think, you know, the great fall from grace was the idea that we are better than all the other life forms, because that allows us to mistreat them once we assume that we have rights over them and, you know, that we can dominate. Yeah. So, you know, just getting back to that recognition that there's just one life and it takes different forms, you know.
Yes. And how lucky we are to have these friends that are embodied differently than we are and have vast experience and beauty and journeys. I mean, animals are just fascinating. And that's why as children, all of us are naturally drawn to be near animals, to be in awe of them, to be in love with nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in your experience working with animals, have you had them tell you about past lives? Have you seen that animals will incarnate either as other animals or possibly as humans and then choose again to become an animal? What have you noticed about that?
Yeah, sometimes if I'm channeling a companion animal for one of my human clients, they will show me lifetimes where they have cycled with them before and in different forms. Sometimes it'll be a domesticated cat now, but a lion or lioness in a previous lifetime. So similar body, but much more powerful. Mm-hmm. And show me this beautiful relationship that has pre-existed before this journey. And then it is always fascinating to wonder about, well, what if they were human too? What was that experience like? And, but I don't often get transmissions that are animals showing me a human experience. And I'm going to guess that that's because it's just so great to be an animal.
Why go down to human experience? Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really wonderful. I know it's beautiful. So have you also seen that animals have their own animal guides, like we talk about power animals for humans? Have you noticed that some of the animals that you've conversed with also have their own power animals or spirit guides?
I love that question. That has not come through my channeling yet, but I'm going to start to get curious around that, Jeannie.
Yeah.
That's a really cool question.
Yeah, well, I find, you know, I volunteer in the shelters and sometimes with the highly traumatized dogs, you know, what they call the pancake dogs, they're just flat as a pancake against the, nothing, no treat, no food, no human can lure them. And sometimes I just will do a little energy work with them and help them reconnect with their soul and their power animal, because sometimes the power animal can lift them in a way that they don't have enough energy to lift themselves, you know. So I found that to be a really useful thing. And it's very subtle. Like it doesn't happen. Well, I see some change instantly, but usually it takes a few days, you know, to see, the real result of it. It's very, very subtle work, but
That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. Thank you for doing that. And that will, hearing that, understanding that at a very deep level will inform my work as well. So thank you.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like turning back the pilot light, you know, like when a being has been so highly traumatized that they're ambivalent about being here, you know, that then they often don't have, the inner resources to come back. And so they need a little help. And it's not my treat. It's not my presence. It's not anything I can do. It's really connecting them to this part of themselves, their soul and their spirit guide helpers, their power animals, whoever wants to come in. And usually it's a team, but, you know, often there's maybe a key person being in the team that can really help. And it's amazing what it does. Amazing, amazing work. Yeah.
It's just that reminder that none of us are ever alone, ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though we as humans sure can feel it.
Yeah, yeah. We tell the story about that all the time. It's what keeps people in line, right? The fear of that. But we're not. We have vast teams of supportive beings that want nothing more than us to experience love and ease.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we're going to take a short little break. And when we come back, I want to hear more about when companion animals are ready to transition, how you know that, how you recognize that, how you assist in that process. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, and I have Stephanie Banks with me. And we were just talking about a lot of those of us who live with animals. Inevitably, we're going to face a time when the animals are ready to pass. And I'm sure you get a lot of your clients calling you at those times and saying, help, you know, is it time? Do I need to do something to help make it? What can you share with our listeners about that time?
Well, first of all, I feel it very deeply because there's no loss for me greater than that of a beloved, you know, companion animal. What almost always comes through when I am supporting a human client in walking with their companion through end of life is that companion will say, the animal essence will say, I will tell you, I will communicate with you when I'm ready. You will know. And that is, I have yet to see where that hasn't been the case. Mm. So I know the feeling myself of trying to stay a step ahead of everything and trying to make sure there's no suffering and there's, you know, and I know the right time and how will I know? And thank goodness we have the option to support in that way. And we can kind of really get in our heads about it too and get ahead of everything. Mm-hmm. So the animals, the soul of the animal will always show it's human when it is time. That doesn't mm-hmm. mean it's easy or that it will come easefully, but they will send the signals. There will be a knowing in the heart. So my role really is to assist the human with unburdening their heart or gaining access to clarity around their heart so that they can tune in to the timing of that and respond accordingly. And so for humans that can't get to the place where they're ready or able to make the decision to support, their animal in their transition in that way, medically support it, that's okay too. You know, we don't have to hold so much guilt around that. Our animals sometimes stick around longer and longer and longer and longer and longer because they know that we can't let go. We're having such a hard time letting go. And right. there's no reason that we need to hold on to guilt around that either. It's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. To
say. It's very hard.
Yeah.
But there's, it can assist us with trusting ourselves and the connection that we have with our animal being.
Mm-hmm. And from your experience, you talked about that they will sometimes hold on longer than they need to for their own individual development or growth or happiness or ease for the human. But is your sense that animals are not afraid of death? Like what have animals taught you about how they perceive death?
Yeah, I've never sensed that they have any fear of it. No, because they know this is part of the whole cycle we're here for. You know, it's the human story is to fear death.
Right.
The human story is to fight tooth and nail to extend life even when there's no quality left or to go to, you know, extreme measures. But that's not the animal story. That's not the real lived experience of them or the soul experience of them. So it's not their fear. And they're not avoiding death like we tend to and like we've been conditioned to. So that's the beauty of it. So when they do hold on or hold out or continue on, even with great difficulty, physical challenges, illness, etc., there will be humans that feel, their humans might feel really guilty that they did this for me and they endured so much. But what the animal soul always tells me is, no, it's all okay. Like I'm, you know, I would not have done this if it was at such great detriment or harm. You needed to be a little closer to being ready, or you needed to have a little bit more time with me, or you, whatever you needed, I was able to accommodate. So there's the beauty in that.
Yes, tremendously beautiful and very, very challenging for us humans to find the grace to let an animal go, you know, to allow an animal to find their own time. And sometimes we need to help. So I'm not against us helping medically, because if they were out in nature, they'd go sit under a tree and become lunch for a coyote, you know, so they would have their own, they'd have their own ways, you know, so because they're in our care, part of care is to assist if needed at that time. So yeah, good. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you've learned about behaviors. Like, you know, I'm sure clients will call you and say, my cat's peeing out of the box, or my dog is barking, or, you know, crazily, or whatever their thing. You know, there's always something. what kind of insight have you gained from being able to talk to the soul level and ask the animal, tell me about this? What have you
learned? Yes. And thank you for clarifying, because I'm not an animal behaviorist and I am not a trainer and I'm not giving any information or counsel around that. But I can channel the soul. And what the animal soul almost always tells me, Jeannie, is that this issue is really a direct mirroring of what their human is going through. So not that their human is peeing outside the box, but a lot of times these are issues or behaviors that can be related to anxiety, and animals are reflectors of our true state of being, right?
Right.
So if we are nervous, highly anxious, worried, depressed, you know, whatever we're going through, a lot of them sensitively, with their sensitivities, they will mirror that back to us. It's an opportunity for us to grow and to be more self-aware. Not, again, not to take guilt and not to take blame, but just a gentle, loving, like reflection back. So if there's, so sometimes a client will tell me about a certain behavior going on. Maybe their dog is very reactive on a leash. And sometimes there is a pre-existing or predating or from another lifetime even of having negative attachment or experiences with that. But oftentimes they are saying, I can feel you, human, start to brace against all incoming energy, long before it becomes a reality. So I'm primed to protect. You have called me in as your protector, for example. So yeah. I'm looking, I'm scanning what is it? Okay, let's both posture. Let me take care of this. A lot of times it's in their efforts to take care of us or what we have asked them, you know, for that we're getting our signals all crossed and mixed.
Right.
And then we're looking for interventions when actually we're the ones creating the behavioral issues.
Right.
So, yeah. That's a lot of it, what it is for me when I'm channeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because, as you mentioned, it's not that the human is peeing outside the box, that the cat is peeing outside the box, but the human may be having some stress about boundaries or whatever, or about rules or whatever it is, but it's not literal. So I think it's important to recognize that there may be an underlying stress that the human is having, or fear or anxiety or whatever it is, and the animal is going to express it in whatever way is convenient for that animal. So, you know, a cat can't sit down and write you a letter, you know, so they're going to pee outside the box. Here's your letter.
Or pee on your bed.
Right, pee on your bed. So here's my way of saying, you know, hey, break out of your routine, pay attention. There's something that's not okay, you know, and you know, that is such, there's so many people who are looking for, fix my dog is basically, you know, you're going to get these calls, you know, fix my dog, not, you know, okay, what, you know, how are we, you know, sharing this energy and how is this affecting both of us? And, you know, it's a whole different cultural shift because there's so much emphasis on quick fixes and people want to change behavior rather than recognize what's driving it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, what's fun is sometimes clients will say, I'm thinking about adding another animal to my family, and could you channel Fluffy and find out, is she okay with it? Mm-hmm. And sometimes Fluffy is all in, and sometimes Fluffy is a heck no.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I think is a very useful application of channeling as well, just to kind of get a feel for what's the energetic in the home that the animal wants to create or expand or protect, or, you know, what's the need there?
Exactly. I think a lot of people are in that situation of thinking that they need to get their animal another animal, and some animals love that, want that, you know, relish that. Other animals, no thanks, you know, and then you get all this behavior going on back and forth, but it's like, well, who's causing it? Which was it, this dog or that dog? It's, you know, oh my God, it's a mess. if we, you know, we're looking at the wrong door, or knocking on the wrong door.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how are animals messengers in our lives? I think that's a big theme of your work. And what are some of the stories that you have, maybe a story that you've experienced with a human and a message that the animal had for them?
Yeah. Well, they're very active messengers in my life. And I tell all my clients, when they notice animals outside on their walks, on their drives, whenever, look up the significance of that totem animal, of that spirit animal, and see what resonates with you. Because every single time, something very deep is something significant is there for them. But for me, when my mother passed away years ago, she started sending a male cardinal to my son's bedroom window, literally practically the week she passed. Wow. And she loved birds. You know, and cardinals were among her favorite because of their bright, beautiful colors. Mm-hmm. And I had no bird feeders out at the time. There was nothing to attract birds at all. Why would it come to my window? There was nothing at the window. Every day for years.
Wow.
This bird came and just sat at the window and watched us. Mm-hmm. And it would peck at the window if we weren't nearby, and me and the kids would run in and be like, it's back. And it would just watch us, and I could feel her presence.
Yeah.
And for a few years, I looked up what's the, you know, the lifespan of a cardinal. How could it possibly keep being the same one visiting us? A few years passed without visits. And then on the anniversary of my mother's death, who came back?
Wow.
But what I deem to be the same cardinal, another male cardinal that has been coming again for years every single day. Now,
wow.
My father was getting ready to pass, and I did not yet know how close he was to his transition. There were birds that were coming inside his screened patio, a screened patio, no entry.
Wow.
But I came to bring him dinner, and he would complain about these birds. And I would look out and it would be filled with birds. And my daughter and I would go out, open the doors, and have to shoo the birds out. We'd come the next night with dinner, birds again.
Wow. And so,
by the third time, I went outside by myself and I said to the birds, who is here? Mm-hmm. Like, who else is here? Who's mm-hmm. sending you? Yeah. And I heard my mom.
Wow.
My mom said, it's me.
Uh-huh.
I want you to know that your father is getting ready to take flight. That is why I'm sending the birds, the winged creatures. And she said, and so this is, you know, that prepare emotionally, spiritually, whatever you need to do. And she said, and also, I really do like bothering him.
Oh,
so that night when I was saying goodnight to my dad, I said, I figured out who's been sending the birds, Dad. And he said, who? And I said, Mom. He said, well, tell her to knock it off.
Oh, that's so funny.
So she got to him. She agitated him.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild.
But this is, if we're paying attention, if
yes.
we're awake, I mean, these are very obvious signals, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I could have ignored them and I could have just
right.
looked in a hole in the screen
yeah.
and I could have explained it away, except why would they all come through a hole in the screen when there's no food in, you know, like if
yeah.
you follow your curiosity and you're open-hearted, your animal beings will come.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. And yeah. And that's, let's just leave our readers with one little tip, how they can get started with connecting with their heart so that they can feel soul level communication from any beings. What would you suggest to people to get started?
I would say get quiet and go outside.
Wow.
It is that simple.
Wow. Wow. Perfect. Get quiet, go outside where the life is.
Yes, exactly. You have to go outside your walls
yeah,
in order to truly, truly experience the magic and wonder and presence of the natural world and of your animal friends that are waiting for you, that have been sending signals and looking, you know, to join you across your path for quite a while.
Wow. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, that's just totally delightful. I am going to go out and say hello to my donkeys just because you said that. They're in my backyard, to Rosie and Lily. I'll show you. I'll give you a little picture here.
I love them. I love what you're doing. I get your newsletters. I think you're
great.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Great.
Your animals. Oh, I hope to meet you someday and just kiss all over those sweet donkeys.
Absolutely. What part of the world do you live in?
I'm in Florida.
Florida. Okay. Well, if you ever get to Tucson, there's two miniature donkeys that would love to meet you. And there goes Bailey.
Oh, I had a Bailey too. I love it.
Oh, great. Well, this has been so delightful. I know we've only just scratched the surface. We'll have to have you on again. And thank you so much. How can people get a hold of you? Can they do readings with you at long distance? Do you do readings?
Yeah.
So where can people find you?
They can go to my website. It is soulinsight.com, or they can go on social media. It's at Stephanie Intuitive Channel.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your wonderful wisdom and your sweetness and the love and the great work that you're doing in the world, too.
And thank you, Jeannie. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you soon. Bye for now, everyone. See you in the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.